PQRST. Good morning and welcome to the next and current episode of Parody Quips, Rants, and Storytelling, also known as PQRST. And goodness, why did I start off like that? Well, that was my best attempt at a zombie voice, because on today's episode we're going to be nitpicking through the 45th of the 50 top grossing movies of all time as of 2010, which was I Am Legend. And if you've never seen it, well, there was a strong zombie vibe, although they were called infected and not zombies. It was basically the same thing. Before I get into the movie review, how you doing? Hopefully you are well. You can hear Hopeful the cat in the background because I'm recording up in my room, and she has the free roam of the top floor of the house and wants attention, as usual. But you will not hear any sounds of a little boy, not because he's sleeping in another room, but because my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful wife has just left for work and taken him with her, so that he can visit the museum, and so that Daddy can have some free time, which Daddy's very happy for. So, many, many huge, wonderful thanks to my incredibly beautiful and gracious wife, Tiffany. And I don't have much of a rant to kick things off. Just please, please love people. Love people around you, even and especially people that disagree with you. A lot of stuff in the news this week, and it doesn't even matter which week of news it was. There's always stuff in the news where people are working hard at hating other people. Try to love people, please. Anyway, so speaking of loving people, because that's a segue that makes sense, movie 45, I Am Legend. Yeah, this one was interesting. Some of the... To make the top 50 grossing movies of all times, movies do not have to be unique and incredible. I mean, Indiana Jones 4 was neither. What it has to be is, I mean, top grossing means that it made a lot of money, which means that either everybody saw it, or maybe not everybody saw it, but those that did see it went to see it over and over and over and over and over. And there are movies like Star Wars that everybody pretty much saw. I think they found evidence of Han Solo on the moon when they landed there, but, and they did land there. Let's just, you know, be understood with that. But there's also movies that I don't think tons of people, well, not tons, but I don't think everybody saw it, but obviously those that did kept going back and kept taking their friends. And this is one of those movies that it's odd, in my opinion, that I Am Legend is in the top 50 grossing movies of all time. And I don't say that to indicate that it's badly done. Will Smith does an incredible job portraying a man who has been completely without human contact for 3 years. But my own personal experience, I had not seen this movie, and frankly the only reason why I watched this movie was because I needed to review it for the top 50 list. So I watched it, and, you know, just so that I had actually seen it once through, and then gave it a couple days and watched it again looking for nits to pick. And I didn't want to watch it again. And that's partly me. I don't like horror films, and I Am Legend might not necessarily be considered a horror film, but it certainly would be considered suspense, and I'm not usually a huge fan of suspense. I don't like films where the music suddenly gets real quiet and you know that something's about to jump out at you. I don't like jump scares. The TV show Stranger Things, highly recommended. It was okay. I enjoyed the 80s vibe, but I was thankful that they tried to keep it, I think, to one jump scare per episode, and the underworld stuff, wasn't a huge fan of that. I liked Stranger Things for what happened in the regular world and endured the underworld stuff. I'm not saying horror movies are bad or the jump scares are bad. If you're into that thing, fine. It's not for me. So I had not seen I Am Legend, and it wasn't my kind of film, and I only watched it because it was on the top 50, and unlike Indiana Jones 4, which we will get to, it was a movie I was at least willing to sit through. But I will say, just in passing, I don't get why people went back to see this over and over and over again. I like movies with happy endings. You could argue that at least one of the endings of this movie is happy. I like movies where I feel good watching it, where it's a fun ride. I'm not fond of a movie where I'm like, oh God, what's going to happen next, which happened a lot in this. Anyway, so moving into the actual nitpicking. 2 minutes. So before I get into the actual nitpicking, let me give a summary of the movie in case it's been a while or if you've never seen it. And if you've never seen it, I'm probably going to spoil some things. But it's been out for ages, so why haven't you seen it? Or why are you listening to this if you haven't seen it? Go watch it and come back. But anyway, oh, the cat wants affection today. As I recall, and I've only seen the movie twice, so summaries might skip a few things, there was an outbreak in New York that spread across America, maybe the whole world, of a virus that turns people into basically zombies. And you get flashbacks during the movie of people trying to escape and get off the island of Manhattan. But by the time the movie begins, as far as we know, and we'll come back to this, Dr. Robert, played by Will Smith, is the only human being alive on the entire island of Manhattan. And the movie goes to great lengths to make us think that he's the only person alive, perhaps in the entire world. More on that later. So, and I forget how they establish it, maybe through flashbacks, maybe through newspapers. Somehow, we learn it's for 3 years. Dr. Robert has been alone on the island of Manhattan with just wild animals during the day and these horrible infected zombie creatures at night. Because, yes, those humans that are left put quotes around the word humans because they can't stand daylight. They attack, I don't know if they attack wild animals, but they certainly attack humans, i.e. Dr. Robert, at night. And so you want to be safely in your panic room before the sun goes down. So it's a zombie film. It's oh, there's so much I'm not a fan of in this genre. It's kind of a combination of, say, World War Z or Dawn of the Dead or name your favorite zombie film, 28 Days Later, and Castaway, which was a fantastic movie. I would much rather have sat through that than I Am Legend, where Tom Hanks is by himself on an island for 4 years. So it has the jump scare horror zombie parts at night, and it has the what is a person going to do with themselves? How are they going to survive during the day? It's different from Castaway in that Dr. Robert is stranded on the island of Manhattan, so he's got a fancy car he drives around, he's got high-powered rifles to take down, you know, big game, he's hitting golf balls off the wing of an SR-71. That's a really cool airplane, by the way. So he's got some things to keep him occupied. He doesn't have to worry so much about food and water, but you do see the lack of companionship, and they do that very well. Anyway, so I'm still summarizing the movie. So we've established that Dr. Robert is alone. He's trying to find a way to cure the infected. And then at a certain point in the movie, you discover, huh, look at that, he's not alone. Again, more on that later. And his new hot friend and her son, they all might have suddenly found a way to cure the infected, and the hot friend and her son make it to a colony that turns out it exists to try to give them the cure that Dr. Robert found and gave his life to save theirs. There's also an alternate ending, which I was going to look up before I started recording this, and I seem to recall the alternate ending being even more annoying, like maybe Dr. Robert didn't die. I don't know. Doing a great job summarizing the movie. This is going to be the best podcast ever. But if any of this intrigues you and you haven't seen it, go see it. If you've seen this movie, love the movie, and you're yelling at your radio right now, well, you're just going to have to forgive me. So, 2 minutes, 20 seconds into the movie where Dr. Robert's alone on the island of Manhattan. This is the first shot where we see empty New York, and they do this very well. It's a very compelling look, even a chilling look, at an empty urban environment. But the one of the lower drives, Wacker Drive, but I think that's in Philadelphia. So one of the lower drives is covered in water, standing water. If it's been there for 3 years, that standing water is awfully clean. And another note, I'm thankful for this. I don't see one single cockroach in this entire movie. I haven't been to New York, but what I hear from people is that cockroaches are a problem now. If it's been 3 years and they've had free reign, wouldn't they be just running rampant? And did the virus not affect them? I don't know if the virus... Well, the virus does affect animals, because there's dogs that are infected in the movie, as I recall, whereas there are deer that are not. So I'm not sure who... How... Anyway. Yeah, this podcast may not be the best, because I did not have a lot of experience with this movie, but I have a good voice, so you can enjoy that at least. 3 minutes, 20 seconds. Dr. Robert is tooling around Manhattan in a brand new Mustang. It's so new, the sticker's still in the window. Now, I absolutely, by breaking into and driving whatever car you fancy, pick a new one every day, why not? Nobody else is going to be using them. But considering that there are wild animals running loose and you're trying to hunt them, wouldn't you want as wide a field of view as possible? And after 3 years, the daily new car novelty might have worn off a little bit. Plus, gasoline, even assuming that somehow there's still electricity and the pumps still work, once you run out of it, you're out of it. So get a car that gets 5 miles to the gallon might not be the best choice. So I don't do this very often, but an example of a just continuity glitch in the nitpicking, 4 minutes, 3 seconds, the deer or elk or antelope or whatever it is runs in front of Dr. Bob's car. He spins the wheel. Then a frame later, we're cut to an outside shot, and a second later, the car actually starts turning. So he's really going to have to get that steering checked. I don't know by whom. He's the only person left alive in Manhattan. 4 minutes, 17 seconds. Where are the deer coming from? I mean, we see a lion, and I'll buy that the lions have escaped from the zoo. I guess 3 years of nobody feeding them, they would get desperate enough to figure out a way out. Or maybe Robert let them all out. But this is the island of Manhattan. Anything here was either here 3 years ago before they cut the bridges or has swum over. I'm just saying, are these deers in from Jersey or what? 4 minutes, 30 seconds. We watch Dr. Bob try to hunt a deer. And I've never, on my honor, tried to shoot a deer from a moving Mustang. But he doesn't seem able to drive and shoot at the same time, and I don't blame him. It seems like something that would be very difficult. So he's always just a little bit behind. There's got to be a better way to trap deer, is all I'm saying. Like maybe hanging out where they, you know, putting out a salt lick or something. I mean, break into a bookstore, get a book on hunting. That's all I'm saying. Let's see. 7 minutes, 41 seconds. This is just a note. And actually, well, I'll read you exactly what I wrote back in 2010. As Robert goes to drive away, there's a big Batman versus Superman poster on the side of the building with a 2010 release date. That sounds like a great movie. Did I miss it? Well, A, no, it just was delayed till 2016, and two, it wasn't a great movie. Ben Affleck is Batman. Come on. 8 minutes, 31 seconds. Robert goes into his house, and he sprays a liquid of some kind on the front steps. We find out later that the infected try to get in during the night. But is it kerosene? Is it holy water? They show him spraying it, but as far as I recall, they never explain what it is. 9 minutes, 5 seconds. Okay. So Robert apparently is cruising around the city, even though he just sprayed something on the steps of his house. By this point, he's cruising around the city again. He has no music playing while he's driving around. Maybe by this point at 9:05 he's in his home. Apologies for not remembering, but there's no music. At this point in the film, I don't recall if the film had a soundtrack at all, but they do very little in the way of music. And it's something the filmmakers do to emphasize just how alone he is. And it's done very effectively. But as a nitpicker, listen, I would have music playing constantly. I would be playing anything to hear the sound of a human voice if I'd been alone for 3 years. 9 minutes, 21 seconds. Dr. Bob closes the refrigerator, and there's a cover of Time magazine with Will Smith's face on it, and the caption, Savior? And if we don't know by now, we will know soon that he was the one tasked with curing the virus, and he failed. 3 years of failure. Would it make sense that, I don't know, I guess it's not a nit, because maybe he likes being reminded of his failure, but I wouldn't have the cover of Time magazine reminding me every time I went to the fridge that I had failed to save the human race. 11 minutes, 54 seconds. As night falls, Dr. Bob turns the switch or hits the button or whatever, and metal doors slam down on every entrance. When did he have those put in? After everybody died? He did that all by himself? And he did it without the infected breaking in before he got them put in place? That's pretty impressive, is all I'm saying. It's also nice, considering the movie indicates that the infected storm around outside every night, it's nice that they don't break any of the glass in the windows, considering that the security doors are inside the glass. But there can't be that much glass, you know, ready to put into new windows around, so it is considerate of them. 14 minutes, 22 seconds. This is one that's not at all fair, but I'm a nitpicker and I don't deal in reality. I wrote... The movie takes place, supposedly, in 2009 in the USA, and we're listening to the president announcing something on the radio. The filmmakers, whenever they made this movie, it was before 2009, had no idea who would be president. But I don't deal in reality, and it's interesting how much the radio announcement in 2009 sounds nothing whatsoever like Barack Obama. 15 minutes, 23 seconds, the night has passed, and the morning comes, and Robert wakes up to sunlight on his face. I'll say that again. Robert wakes up to sunlight on his face. Do the metal shutters that keep him safe at night have some sort of light sensor that they raise as soon as the sun comes up? How is sunlight getting in, is what I'm saying, since he wasn't awake to open them. And it seems like the sort of thing you wouldn't want to trust to a timer. 16 minutes, 23 seconds, Dr. Bob walks down the stairs to the basement, puts his lab coat on, and the lights are already on in the basement. I suppose there could be some sort of motion sensing thing we don't see, but he didn't turn the lights on. Are these lights on all the time? The guy just wastes an irreplaceable resource. 17 minutes, 5 seconds. All right, so Dr. Bob is trying to figure out a cure for the infected, and he's working on rats, which I'm sure there are plenty of to choose from. He's not being very scientific. He goes through, because all the rats' cages are covered. You know, wouldn't you want to walk in the room and immediately see if any of them were no longer infected? But I guess I could see covering them if that means they're more docile. But he goes through and, flips off a cover, and, flips off a cover. Just like a magician. And I guess if he'd done it gradually, I wouldn't have been scared to death by the mutant rats slamming against the sides of their cages. Anyway, it's nice of the rats to remain nice and quiet until the reveal, making the freak out jump scare even more scary for those of us watching who don't like jump scares. 17 minutes, 10 seconds, close up rat going rat crap against the glass of his cage. Then we see the wide shot, and there's no cracks on the cage. In fact, the wide shot makes it look like the cages are plastic, even though the close-up indicates that there may be glass. I mean, just saying plastic, unbreakable plastic, would make a heck of a lot more sense. 17 minutes, 11 seconds. Dr. Bob is getting sloppy. He lists off the rats that are still infected. I'll say that again. He lists off the rats that are still infected. Into his recorder, he says 8, 9, 10, 11. All right, in front of us, in the shot, are cages 2 through 5 and 8 through 11. The rat in cage 9 looks dead. He's not moving. But Robert doesn't list that rat as dead, but rather still infected. The shot at 17:23, that rat's still unmoving, and maybe it's also infected, but I think dead would be more appropriate. Not that I'm a scientist. 19 minutes, 32 seconds. One of the main things about that the movie shows us is just the loneliness, the utter isolation of this man alone in this huge city, and they do it very well. So Robert is talking to the mannequins in the video store. And again, kudos to Will Smith for a fantastic performance. I completely believe he's been alone for 3 years and is losing his mind. 19 minutes, 32 seconds, Robert talks to the mannequins as he unlocks the video store. He unlocks the video store. Why does he keep it locked? Does he think the infected are going to have a video slumber party? They're going to steal videos from him? I'm just saying, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But yeah, if you want an example of what I'm saying about Will Smith's performance, 20 minutes, 38 seconds, where Robert is too shy to talk to the video store mannequin. He's been psyching himself up to talk to her and walks in, walks out without doing so. It's very well done. And I wish he would talk to her. I mean, his wife's been dead for 3 years. He really should date again. 22 minutes, 25 seconds. Robert is making his way through a house. He's scrounging for supplies. And I don't blame him. But as big as Manhattan is, for 3 years, you're still houses you haven't scrounged through yet. You know, even if you're taking, you know, the video store, he plays one movie a night. And then he takes that movie back the next day, takes the next one, watches the next movie. And I get that, trying to stretch out his entertainment options. But if you're looking for supplies, I'm just surprised there are houses left that he hasn't gone through in 3 years. 24 minutes, 9 seconds. Again, filmmakers trying to guess at the future, and boy, they were a little, what's the word I want? They were a little Talk among yourselves. I don't know the word I want, but they had very low hopes, I guess, for America's gasoline futures. The prior to 2009 filmmakers assumed that in Manhattan, Christmas of 2009, gas would be $6.63 a gallon. I just looked this up yesterday because I knew I'd be doing this podcast. Manhattan gas right now, $2.29. So maybe the place that's charging $6.63 a gallon, maybe you don't want to shop there. 25 minutes, 23 seconds. Robert is hitting golf balls off the wing of an SR-71 Blackbird into the canyons of Manhattan. It looks like he's hitting into the sun. Why? You can aim in any direction you want, dude. 25 minutes, 40 seconds. As I recall, Dr. Robert waited a little too long with his golf balls to get home, and so he's in danger of being attacked by infected. After 3 years, if Dr. Robert isn't as good a warrior as he's ever going to be, he'd be dead. This is his life. There are beings lurking in the darkness who would rip him apart if they got a chance. Not to mention, you could walk around the corner and meet a lion. So when Sam the dog perks up, like, uh-oh, it really surprised me that Dr. Robert didn't notice for about 3 seconds. 26 minutes and 2 seconds. The sun has gone down, the infected are roaming, and we look at the deserted street. It's jammed with cars from one side of the street to the other, people who were trying to escape, you know, evacuate the city. Both of the sidewalks are empty. Now look, just between you and me, I kind of expect New Yorkers to drive on the sidewalk on a normal day. Don't tell me, human beings being who they are, you wouldn't be using every available inch of space to try and flee the city during a mass evacuation. I think of the movie Deep Impact, which I would far rather watch than I Am Legend, although even that is not one that's high on my list. And there's a point in Deep Impact where everyone's trying to flee the city because a tidal wave is coming. And there's three lanes on one side, three lanes on the other side. And as I recall, maybe Deep Impact got it right and it was Independence Day that got it wrong, but definitely Independence Day did this. The three lanes leaving the city are jam-packed, everybody just bumper to bumper. The three lanes going into the city have nobody. Give me a break. People would be using, you know, taking the wrong way on the on-ramps, and all of the lanes leaving, regardless of whether or not it's legal or not, would be totally, totally filled. Hi, cat. 31 minutes, 27 seconds. Robert's been attacked by infected. He breaks through a second-story window, and it takes him 3 entire seconds to hit the ground, which puts the window more like 8 to 12 stories up. The second-story window, I'm just saying, is a long way off the ground. 32 minutes, 56 seconds, a continuity error. Robert is petting poor Sam the dog's face. The shot changes, and he reaches out to Sam the dog's face yet again. And I only mention it because, oh, poor Sam the dog. Dr. Robert has captured an infected. He's trying to treat, he thinks maybe he's come up with a cure, and he's trying to treat an actual person to see if he can cure them. 36 minutes, 9 seconds. Robert is treating the captured infected, and she leaps at him. Then the shot changes, and she leaps at him. Then the shot changes, and she leaps at him yet a third time. It's the triple jump portion of the Infected Olympics. 36 minutes and 11 seconds. As much as they're basically zombies, it is nice that the infected remember to take good care of their teeth. This gal has been wandering around in the darkness for 3 years. I mean, at 36:19, we get a good view of the inside of her mouth, and you can see cavities, but the teeth are all basically white. She still has them. It's fairly impressive. 37 minutes, 3 seconds. Will Smith. Compound 6, ineffective on humans. And that's what Will Smith sounds like. So, one trial of his supposed cure has failed, and he says, yep, doesn't work on humans. What kind of scientist is this guy? You don't base a thing on one failed trial. Ask my wife. She's an actual scientist. 38 minutes. Blood test confirmed. One. Nope. Not one. That's an I. Let's try this again, and maybe a different accent. Blood tests confirm I remain immune to both the airborne and contact strains, assuming he's talking of the virus. Canine remains immune to airborne strain only. Only? I mean, okay, Sam is still alive, therefore he's immune to the airborne strain, but did this infected human bite Sam and Robert cured it when we weren't looking? If not, then Sam has only proven that he's immune to the airborne virus, and his immunity to contact virus is still unknown. And don't tell me that the movie was too nice to show us that, because of what happens later. The movie is not too nice to show us anything. 39 minutes, 55 seconds. Again, we see, well, there's a flashback scene as people are trying to flee the city, and people rush to the evacuation point, and at this point, 39 minutes, 55 seconds, there's a whole entire empty sidewalk. Everyone's rushing down the street, and the sidewalk is just completely empty, which I find amusing. 41 minutes. Oh, so Dr. Bob's trying to get... I think he's trying to get out of the city, or maybe he's trying to get his wife and kid out of the city, but his family definitely wants to leave. And anyone who wants to leave has to get past this army scanner. And this guy scans a person's eye, and if a red reading... If it reads red, they say, get out of here, you're infected, and the person's turned away. So later, Robert's wife goes up to the army guy. It's a red reading, and she's going to be turned away, and Robert, I don't know, stiff-arms him, pulls rank on him, does something, and makes him try again. This time, it goes green. And since it goes green, he's like, oh, okay, she's good. Okay, this is a virus where if you get it, you start killing everybody. It's a horrible thing. If there's any chance the equipment might give a false reading, wouldn't everybody who shows red get a second chance to pass the test? And when his wife passes the second test... Is that any reason to assume that she's virus 3? Anybody that has the does the eye thing, and basically everybody should be checked twice, apparently. And anyone who doesn't get the same answer both times should be put in a third area. Just if I ever have to evacuate a city, I'm going to be so much better at it than these army guys are, is all I'm saying. 42 minutes, 3 seconds. The Dr. Robert and his family leave, and the army guys watch them go, and behind them are all these desperate people trying to escape. The thing about desperate people, especially when a bunch of them are together, they'd start doing desperate things. So, army guys, you might want to watch the crazed mob of people rather than the family walking towards the helicopter. This is never explained to my satisfaction. 46 minutes, 3 seconds. We're back in present day. Robert is driving along, just, you know, tooling around, going to the library, whatever. He sees one of his mannequins, and it's out of position. And he freaks out. And that's completely understandable. And then, as he's investigating, he gets caught in a trap. It's the trap is exactly like the one that he set to catch this infected woman that he it turned out he couldn't cure. So, logically, it's his trap, and he forgot about it. So, did he just... He just forgot? Yesterday, this mannequin was outside the video store. So, in the past 24 hours, he's set up this trap... And he must have set it up, since it's not sprung, that very day. But he forgot about it? Okay, that's plausible. The man is losing his mind. But if Robert set up the trap, why did he move the mannequin? The infected are attracted to styrofoam now or something? Or did he just want some company, someone to talk to while he waited by his trap? And while I'm on the subject, the trap itself is pretty stupid. Previously, it was a good trap that we saw earlier, where Robert caught an infected, drew her outside the building, but... covered from sunlight, and then knocked her unconscious. That's clever. This current trap, he has to wait until sundown, where he would open the vial of blood and then quickly make his escape, and after dark, some of the infected would go for it. And then the trapped zombie would have to wait until dawn, and Robert has to come get it, assuming the other infected haven't freed the trapped zombie. I mean, it's just a bad trap. But am I missing something? Did the infected set this trap for Robert? Figuring he would see the mannequin and come running? How did the infected figure out how to do this? Robert told us their brains don't work right anymore. I know my theory. The lions rigged the trap. They're tired of deer meat. 46 minutes and 10 seconds. Continuity error. Robert stops the SUV in the middle of the intersection. Smoking, brakes locked, stopped because the mannequin's out of place. He then backs up the SUV, and when he starts turning, somehow he's still in the middle of the intersection. There is a big continuity error with the trap where when Robert is hoisted about 15 feet in the air, the taxi settles further forward onto its roof, and as a result, Robert's lowered about 5 feet when you think he would be raised about 5 feet, but I think I've already beaten this point to death anyway. 49 minutes, 12 seconds. Robert comes back to consciousness with his watch alarm beeping. At this shot, 49:12, he's touching the watch face, but the shot changes and he's grabbing the watch strap. And I mention it because it's really cool that the watch has a place on its strap where you can hit a button and stop it beeping. 52 minutes, 0 seconds. Robert is trying to free himself and there's sunlight between him and these infected dogs that are going to rip him to shreds. There's this tiny barrier of sunlight. It's like 3 inches across, and the demon dogs are waiting on the other side. It's like, oh, we want to get them, we want to get them. Oh, there's sunlight. Oh, we want to get them, we want to get them. Oh, there's sunlight. You're telling me they don't just yelp through it and keep going? The sunlight is so powerful for infected that even the slightest hint of it just turns them to dust? Apparently it does, because there's a long shot, 52:37, where the dogs wait until it's absolutely gone and then run for their prey. 53 minutes and 17 seconds. Suffice to say, Sam the dog takes one for the team, and at this point he's whimpering and collapsing on the pavement, and I just wonder why, at this point, why did people want to see this movie over and over and over? 56:55, Robert, while Sam is saving his life, loses a lot of blood. Does he give himself a transfusion when we aren't looking? I mean, how does the man keep going? All right, 1 hour, 2 minutes, 40 seconds, the Will Award. And a huge, you've got to be kidding me. The filmmakers have spent an hour, more than an hour, telling us that Dr. Robert is the only human being left alive. Not just in New York, but anywhere. We have seen desperate radio messages. We can imagine, though they don't show us, the fruitless internet messaging, attempt to get a cell signal, anything. He's been alone for 3 years. He's the last man on Earth. Except that, wait a second, no he's not. Suddenly, out of nowhere, here in the island of Manhattan, here's this hot gal and her adorable son. And this gets the Will Award, because they threw us a curveball, they made a right turn, they took everything they've built up over the past hour and said, ha, just kidding. I will also say that it makes sense, it's a movie, but lucky for Dr. Robert that when he finally does find another person, she's single and attractive. I mean, she's got a kid. But seriously, you just knew that when he ran into another person, they would at least be attractive. He was never going to meet, wow, there's no example I can give that wouldn't offend somebody. Just somebody not attractive, whatever you're thinking. But it puts me in mind of The Martian Chronicles, Ray Bradbury. One of the stories in that book is a guy who thinks he's the last man on Mars, and he picks up the phone and dials random numbers occasionally, just hoping, because they have phones on Mars, that someone will pick up, and somebody does, amazingly, and it's a woman, and you're alive? You're alive! There's another person! Let's find each other! And they find each other, and it turns out that she is so incredibly annoying that after a few weeks or months or whatever, he sneaks out in the night and escapes, and the end of the story is occasionally the phone will ring, but I never pick it up. So, kind of lucky for Dr. Bob that he didn't run into, say, a member of the Ku Klux Klan or a mime. Just saying. All right, so 1 hour, 3 minutes, 26 seconds. By the way, the movie was made in 2007. I looked it up while we were away. You didn't even know I was gone, did you? Ha, surprise. 1 hour, 3 minutes, 26 seconds. Robert's being taken home by this mystery woman. Unless the lights on her vehicle are really good, Dawn is just about to arrive. And we've established that the infected cannot handle even the slightest teeny little bit of sunlight. And yet, somehow the infected follow her to Robert's house. Which, that doesn't make any sense. Flashback time, 1 hour, 3 minutes, 57 seconds, we watch the Manhattan Bridge is taken down by fighter planes. Does that bug anybody else? This isn't an enemy attack. This is a U.S. government operation. Wouldn't it be a lot safer and probably cheaper to have a demolitions crew take care of the bridges? I mean, hey, I know full well the government doesn't usually care about cheaper, but I would like to think that safety is at least sort of important to them. Da, 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 da. 1 hour, 7 minutes, 38 seconds. Where did this woman come from? We came from Maryland. How? By helicopter? This is a cutoff from the rest of humanity island of Manhattan. And at the end of the movie, we show them driving off the island on a bridge. Aren't these bridges destroyed? 1 hour, 8 minutes, 7 seconds. Bit of a credibility strain here. Anna says there's a whole colony of people that didn't get sick because the virus couldn't stand the cold. All right, so if we buy that, if that's true, across the face of this earth, there should be hundreds of thousands of people who survived because they live in temperatures that are too cold for the virus. Well, where have those people been for the last 3 years? How come Dr. Robert couldn't find any of them? 1 hour, 9 minutes, 47 seconds. Not a nit, just a note. Robert comes into the room, and on his wall above the TV, we see Van Gogh's Starry Night. And I noticed it because it's one of my favorite paintings. I have a print of it downstairs myself. I thought about it. The one on his wall, if it was on display at the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art, it might be the original. Anyway, it's just a nice touch. 1 hour, 11 minutes, 19 seconds. You're not so good with people anymore, are you? Yeah, that's just what Dr. Robert needs. He hasn't seen another human being in 3 years. This is maybe the only woman left on Earth, and she's all snarky. Fantastic. 1 hour, 20 minutes, 54 seconds. Uh-oh, the infected have found Dr. Robert and his new friends. Dr. Robert turns on the lights, and the silhouettes of advancing infected are thrown across the wall. For something to be silhouetted, it has to be in light. I thought the infected couldn't stand light. 1 hour, 21 minutes, 17 seconds. This may not be a nit. Maybe Dr. Bob just isn't that great at setting explosive. But he hits one button, and as often happens in movies, the explosions go off one after the other, when, as far as I could tell, they were set up to all go off at once. You think Robert would be a pretty good shot by now, but at 1 hour, 23 minutes, 10 seconds, he fires 4 times at an infected that's in the same room with him and apparently doesn't hit a thing. He shouldn't have picked up the gun with the blanks. At 123.34, another 5 shots, still doesn't hit him. And then there's nits where the infected is ripping out a hole in the ceiling for no reason, and the infected break into a basement lab really quickly, even though there was a steel door between them and it. 129.08, there's a grenade in the medical supply cabinet. I'm trying to care. I really am. But I didn't want to finish this movie. And, ooh, here's the thing. Yeah, I'll get to the alternate ending in a minute. So the ending of the regular movie, spoiler alert, why are you still listening to this if you care about spoilers to the movie? Dr. Robert sacrifices his own life so that Anna and her son can escape with a vial of his blood that apparently has a cure. And at 1 hour, 30 minutes, 17 seconds, Anna and Ethan are driving to the colony because apparently you can somehow drive off the island of Manhattan. Why Dr. Bob didn't do this in the past 3 years, but anyway. In this shot, 1 hour, 30 minutes, 17 seconds, looks like Ethan doesn't have a seatbelt on. Considering how dangerous this world has become, you really want to forgo any reasonable safety precautions? At the same time, bet you don't see a lot of drunk drivers anymore. 1 hour, 30 minutes, 55 seconds. The colony gate has some sort of retinal scan, apparently to make sure that these are real humans. Okay, they're walking around in daylight, and they have hair. I think they're safe to be considered human. And then they let him into the colony, and the first person Anna meets, 1 hour, 31 minutes, 22 seconds, she hands the vial of blood to the first person that comes to meet her and says something to the effect of, this will save humanity. Okay, A, if you drop this and it breaks, you lose the one cure you have forever. So maybe put it in a box or something. And two, how does she know that the first person she meets isn't the village idiot? Isn't like, oh, thanks, and like drink it down or something? But, as far as endings go, the one where Dr. Bob sacrifices himself so that they can live, while I have problems with it, is far better than the alternate ending, which you can find on YouTube or on the special features of the DVD, where Dr. Bob escapes with Anna and isn't killed by the infected because of zombie love. Because Dr. Bob somehow does something to save one of the infected that the head infected is in love with. Yeah, just the whole zombies being in love even though they're flesh-eating zombies was just a little too far for me, and I can see why it was an alternate ending. Sometimes you look at the alternate endings and you're like, oh, that was better than the one they chose. This is not one of those times. And that's all I've got for I Am Legend. Wasn't this a fantastic voyage? I know I had fun, but seriously, thank you for joining me in this. Next up, 2 weeks from now, we get to nitpick MIB, another Will Smith movie, but a far better one, and one that's a lot more fun. And so I hope that we will see you there when that happens. In the meantime, on behalf of myself and Will Smith and all the infected, own your stage, whatever stage that happens to be, huh? And if you get a chance, love somebody who's not like you today. All right? I'll do the same thing, and we'll catch you back here in 2 weeks.